بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Welcome everyone to the room. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this day beneficial stay for myself and for all of you. Today there was a piece which I lost some time, and today, alhamdulillah, it was found, and I thought about sharing this piece with you. And this piece is the letter written by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah to his mother when he was in jail. And this shows a side of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah which many people really don't know of. People knew of him as a defendant of the Deen of Islam and a scholar, and engaged most of his life in refuting innovations and calling for the path of As-Salaf As-Salih. And for that he suffered on the hands of many opponents, and but he, alhamdulillah, patiently persevered, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept his mention and his knowledge benefiting his times and for generations to come. We know that during this kind of struggle with the people of innovation, at one point he wrote a treatise entitled Al-Hamawiyya, and Al-Hamawiyya is derived from the name of a city in Syria known as Hama, the town of Hama. And that it was a response to a question about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wrote this treatise in 698 after Hijra, when he was asked to explain in the treatise in Damascus. And he went there and he mentioned to the Sultan, to the authority, that there is nothing new in this treatise, and earlier he had also mentioned the same things in his Wasitiyya Creed, which was also a response to a question about the creed of the Salaf regarding Allah's names and attributes. So he explained to the Sultan, the ruler, then, that there is nothing new in this, and that these works of his were to emphasize the creed of Ahl Sunnah. The opponents of Shaykh al-Islam could not really stand to refute any of these evidences which he established, rahimahullah. And at one point the ruler tried to explain to his opponents that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was following the tradition of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and he, Shaykh al-Islam, rejected this appeasing attitude of the ruler, and he replied it was the aqidah, the creed of the Salaf, that it was not exclusive to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, meaning that this is the creed of the Sahaba, and this is the path of the Salaf, and Sheikh and Imam Ahl Sunnah Ahmad bin Hanbal is one of the Salaf. So afterwards he was summoned to go to Egypt, and so because the ruler in Damascus was a deputy to the Sultan in Egypt, so there was a kind of a tribunal set already for him there in Egypt by his opponents, and mostly the fanatic mystic Sufi Nasr al-Minbaji. And before he left, before he left his student Ibn Abdul Hadi rahimahullah described that and said before he departed to Egypt, he said people gathered to bid their farewells, and they were overwhelmed by grief and many weeping. But he went, and the interrogation began in 705 after Hijrah. Although really the deputy ruler in Damascus advised him not to go, but he insisted to go, and he saw that there was much benefit for being there and to defend the creed of Ahlus Sunnah. So this tribunal was set already by a judge. His name is Ibn Makhluf al-Maliki. And however, you know, his opponents arranged for this, and so he said, you know, this is not acceptable, because his arbiter was also his opponent. And so he refused in that session to answer questions. And so he was put in jail. He was put in jail. And Sijn al-Qal'a, which is a famous one in Cairo, with his brothers. His brothers were with him, Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. And he stayed for 18 months in that jail before he was released unconditionally. An Arab prince by the name of Husamuddin ibn Isa intervened on his behalf in the year 707. There were also other attempts before, but they were failed. Why? Because the opponents wanted to put conditions on his release, which he, rahimahullah, did not accept. So after his unconditional release, he stayed in Cairo, and there he worked hard to establish classes and halaqat ilm, circles of teaching and knowledge in the masajid, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and to benefit the Muslims. His opponents feared that strongly, and that they feared for this to spread, and that would threaten their establishment and so forth. So they complained again, and after the ruler or the Sultan of Egypt afterwards, he decided to expel Sheikh al-Islam back to Syria, however putting conditions which Sheikh al-Islam accepted at the insistence of his followers. But when he was about to leave, there came also there suddenly orders to re-imprison him. And so he was re-jailed. Now, when he entered the jail, he saw the prisoners busy with all kinds of time-wasting games for entertainment, such as chess and dice games, leading to loss of prayer. And Sheikh al-Islam rebuked them strongly and commanded them to keep the prayers and to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship and in repentance and doing righteous deeds. And he taught them from the sunnah what they needed to know, encouraging them to act good. And so he spread knowledge, and the prisoners changed into seekers of knowledge, and the place became better than schools and circles. And some of the released prisoners preferred staying with him rather than being free. And thus, frequently, his company increased to a point where the prison became full of them. Of course, this was not something pleasing to his opponents, which all basically is envy. So he was sent then to the jail in Alexandria. Now, certain changes occurred in Egypt where there was an exiled sultan. He self-exiled. His name is Muhammad bin Qalawun. And this Muhammad bin Qalawun had a great respect for Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. So when he returned in triumph to Egypt and assumed power, so he ordered that Ibn Taymiyyah be returned to Cairo. And when he came to the court of the Sultan, and it was full of scholars and princes, and so the Sultan stood up and greeted Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah warmly, and then asked him, and he told him, these are amongst those scholars present here, those whose oath was given to Qalawun's former rival and had slandered you. So he then asked for an opinion or a fatwa to exterminate them. And the Shaykh rahimahullah strongly objected and replied, if they were to go, none of the same caliber could then be found in your country. As for what they have done to me and my right to extract a punishment, I forgive them and they are free. And so he then resided in Cairo near Masjid al-Hussein in Cairo, and with the commitment of spreading the knowledge and the deen and enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. So he stayed about 7 years plus a few days away from Damascus, and in 712 he returned to Damascus. And there the Egyptian army was sent to fight the attacks of the Tatars. And they accompanied him in his return, and he settled in Damascus and also returned to the circles of knowledge then. But then here again his opponents could not stand that, and they published a fatwa for Shaykh al-Islam, which they found in one of his books, which is Iqtida'u al-Sirat al-Mustaqim, and in which he forbade rahimahullah traveling in order to visit graves, and he proved that by texts, and so they didn't like that at all. And so these envious scholars managed to change the mind of the sympathetic then Sultan, and he then ordered Shaykh al-Islam to be put in jail in Damascus. And when he entered the jail, he recited the following verse from Surah Al-Hadid 57:13. قرأ قول الله عز وجل فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب. And thereupon a wall will be raised between them with a gate in it. Within it will be grace and mercy, and the outside thereof suffering. Or torment. And so he continued there in the prison to write and did works on tafsir, reciting the Quran and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then afterwards they refused to give him ink, paper and books. And then afterwards he passed to the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his prison in the year 728. May Allah's mercy be upon him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him in the highest place. We read his letter to his mother when he was in the jail and was in Alexandria. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من أحمد ابن تيمية إلى الوالدة السعيدة أقر الله عينيها بنعمه وأسبغ عليها جزيل كرمه وجعلها من خيار إمائه وخدمه. From Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah to my dear and honorable mother, may Allah bless her amply and grant her peace and comfort, and may Allah make her amongst the best of his slaves. سلام الله عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Then he said, فإن نحمد إليكم الله الذي لا إله إلا هو وهو للحمد أهل وهو على كل شيء قدير. Then we praise Allah, the most worthy of deserve of praise, and that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped but He, and He has all power over all things, and He is able to do all things. ونسأله أن يصلي على خاتم النبيين وإمام المتقين محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. We ask Him to make His salah and salam upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and He who is the Imam, the leader of the pious, Muhammad, his slave and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kitabi ilaykum an ni'amin min Allah azima wa minanin kareema wa ala'in jaseema nashkurullaha alayha wa nas'aluhu al-mazeeda min fadlih. My book to you, my letter to you, is about the bounties, abundant bounties of Allah and His aid, which is never ending. We praise Him for it, and we ask Him to bestow upon us more and increase from His favor. ونعم الله كلما جاءت في نمو وازدياد وأياديه جلت عن التعداد. وتعلمون أن مقامنا الساعة في هذه البلاد إنما هو لأمور ضرورية, متى أهملناها فسد علينا أمر الدين والدنيا. I said that it will not escape you, meaning his mother, that our stay here in Egypt is for an important matter. If it is abandoned, then it leads to the corruption of our deen and our life. وَلَسْنَا وَاللَّهِ مُخْتَارِينَ لِلْبُعْدِ عَنْكُمْ وَلَوْ حَمَلَتْنَا الطُّيُورُ لَسِرْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ وَلَكِنَّ الْغَائِبَ عُذْرَهُ مَعَهُ. It is not our choice to be far from you. It is not our choice to be far from you. Had birds been able to carry us, we would have come to you. Had birds been able to carry us, we would have come to you. But the one who is absent, he has a reason. وأنتم لو اطلعتم على باطن الأمور فإنكم ولله الحمد ما تختارون الساعة إلا ذلك. And had you been able to look deeply into the affairs of the Muslims, of the situation, you would not choose for me another place to be to the one I am in now. ولم نعزم على المقام والاستيطان شهرا واحدا بل كل يوم نستخير الله لنا ولكم. I didn't intend to reside here permanently. Rather, I pray to Allah to guide you and I to the right choice, and I pray for your well-being. وَأَدْعُوا لَنَا بِالْخِيرَةِ فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ أَنْ يَخِيرَ لَنَا وَلَكُمْ وَلِلْمُسْلِمِينَ مَا فِيهِ الْخِيرَةُ فِي خَيْرٍ وَعَافِيَةٍ. And I ask Allah to bless us and the rest of the Muslims with His goodness and what that goodness encompasses of safety and benefit. وَمَعْ هَذَا فَقَدْ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ وَالْهِدَايَةِ وَالْبَرَكَةِ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَخْطُرُ بِالْبَالِ وَلَا يَدُورُ فِي الْخَيَالِ وَنَحْنُ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ مَهْمُومُونَ بِالسَّفَرِ مُسْتَخِيرُونَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had opened for us here gates of blessings and mercy and guidance in ways which we have never conceived before. Yet I am always considering trouble towards you, making the prayers of istikhara. فَلَا يَظُنُّ الظَّانُّ أَنَّا نُؤْثِرُ عَلَىٰ قُرْبِكُمْ شَيْئًا مِنْ أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا قَطْ. And it's not inconceivable that if given the choice to favor any of this life's things or mundane issues or of the lesser obligations of the deen to being close to you. ولكن ثم أمور كبار ولكن ثم أمور كبار نخاف الضرر الخاص والعام من إهمالها والشاهد يرى ما لا يرى الغائب. However, there are great issues which I cannot abandon for fear of their general and personal dangers. And this refers to the general corruption of the deen of the people. And with him, the danger of him is not to, you know, to stand watching only without engaging in refuting the wrong and in enjoining the right and forbidding the evil. And he said, yeah, there are great issues which I cannot abandon for fear of their general and personal dangers, and the witness sees what the absent does not. وَالْمَطْلُوبُ كَثْرَةُ الدُّعَاءِ بِالْخِيَرَةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ وَلَا نَعْلَمُ وَيَقْدِرُ وَلَا نَقْدِرُ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And what is required is to supplicate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala profusely and ask Him to guide us to choose our best paths, for He knows and we don't know, and He is able and we are weak. وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ سَعَادَةِ ابْنِ آدَمَ اسْتِخَارَتَهُ اللَّهَ وَرِضَاهُ بِمَا يَقْسِمُ اللَّهُ لَهُ وَمِنْ شَقَاوَةِ ابْنِ آدَمَ تَرْكُ اسْتِخَارَتِهِ اللَّهَ وَسُخْطُهُ بِمَا يَقْسِمُ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, it is from the happiness of the son of Adam to practice al-istikhara and be pleased with what Allah has decreed for him. And it is from the misery of the son of Adam to leave the istikhara of Allah and be displeased at Allah's decrees. وَالتَّاجِرُ يَكُونُ مُسَافِرًا فَيَخَافُ ضَيَاعَ بَعْضِ مَالِهِ فَيَحْتَاجُ أَنْ يُقِيمَ حَتَّى يَسْتَوْفِيَهُ وَمَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ أَمْرٌ يُجَلُّ عَنِ الْوَصْفِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The traveler, the trader who goes for his trade, might fear the loss of his money, so he resides at a place until he is able to travel once again. And the matter that we are in the middle of it, is too great to describe, but there is no power or ability nor strength but through Allah. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته كثيرا كثيرا وعلى سائر من في البيت من الكبار والصغار وسائر الجيران والأهل والأصحاب واحدا واحدا والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه تسليما كثيرا. And finally relate and convey my salam to the entire household, young and old, and the rest of the neighbors, the friends and relatives one by one. والسلام عليكم and والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is the text of the letter. And as to the hadith which he cited, the hadith من سعادة ابن آدم, from the happiness of the son of Adam, this hadith is reported by Ahmad and at-Tirmidhi and al-Hakim. and Sheikh Hamid al-Fiqhi rahimahullah commented on this hadith by saying it was related by Tirmidhi, and he called it Hasan Gharib, and it was also narrated by Ahmed, Abu Ya'la, and Al-Hakim, who said it is Sahih al-Isnad. However, Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah considered it to be weak. This is the letter. أستغفر الله العظيم. لا إله إلا الله. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. طيب. Let us review then the class of yesterday, of last night. Are we ready?